Elegant Sea Urchin is a serial auditory hallucination written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the Greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz for more. And before the program starts, your therapist informed us that you missed a dose. At all costs, to save your sanity, hug someone immediately. Hey, you, listening. Thanks, and welcome to the golden season. My area's zings hop over the curve. I could turn back and make it to Grandma's first meal after the smogs tomorrow. But listeners, as reserved as I am, I feel this energy. It keeps me floating forward. The further we get on this voyage to Lunatha, the more I feel that the golden season will be bright. We passed the Rivo lines faster than Yule could handle. She had a dramatic ceremony of taking her first step out of the cove. I took her hand and spun her, you know, send the mind spiraling to reel in reeling. We all danced through part of the golden shine. I can't say for sure, but I think Sina needs the joy as much as Yule. She'd been hiding it, but I'm pretty sure she was a little jittery. The portable wave bastion has been pleasant to use. The wave room in my family hollow is an unruly beast, but it does the job and puts me on the tail end of my humble ripple. If it were a monster capable of full amplitudes, I'd probably have gotten Grandma and Uncle J and K into trouble long ago. Before we embark, I'll set this bastion straight to cast where I usually do on the waves. And I have to tell you, listeners, as we left, Grandma sobbed. It doesn't suit her features. I think us Nox look best calm and composed. Yule and her dusked brother look picturesque in any mood, even as he withered away from the Aya I knew. Heather is beautiful when her heart is breaking, but entrancing when her eyes are open. I think that's probably true for her pop. And that reminds me, I need to figure out what happened to Yule's brother in this dimension. You probably don't hear it. No, I'm gonna say that you definitely don't hear it. There's this strange cross signal that I'm hearing over the waves lately. It's not something I can really define yet. There's nothing clear, but it's been buzzing in Daemerin's cast lately and getting louder, stronger. I don't know how to put it, but since she's not even in my dimension, I don't think it's worth submitting an inquisition to the UV wave cast. In all of our modern advances, the thing I've always been most curious about is the treatments. Jones is a he seems so much stranger the more time we spend with him. It's not bad. Simply, in contrast to the translucent flesh and aqueous movements of Grimham and the Elder Bonilla and many other elders, I can't help but see his cephaloid skin and wonder what happened. Do you think it's braver to reject the common status quo like I think Jones has? Maybe brave is a term that I don't really grasp. I've always been scared, so I assume that brave is the opposite of that, and I've never thought much about it. But the scariest thing is certainly rejecting life as we know it. I mean, I don't think that makes Jones wrong. If sickness or a shorter life or radiation pain concerned him, wouldn't he get a treatment? If he didn't, I think that's okay. Conveniences have made millennia elders listless. Maybe infinite boredom scares him, and it's not bravery driving him. If that's the case, he isn't really an elder. But he doesn't really fit as an urchin either. He certainly isn't an uncle or a tendril. I'll have to ask him how he identifies, because as savage as the world and our lives and some views are, we're just civilized enough to respect one another. I think. I hope. Our first stop was just past the Rivo lines. Yule wouldn't stop gaping at the uncle helping us. The table scraps were okay. I should have gotten the polyps like Sina did. Jones didn't have anything but some Rivo of molasses. A special kind of sweet, viscous jelly. I kind of wanted to try it, but when Yule stopped paying mind to the uncle, she began icing Jones. The elder of the hollow was Farazine. Ferrazine? It's sort of like saying Rivo. There's a little like tongue flip in it, and I'm not 100% sure how to respectfully say her name. But she had a spare alcove for us to stay the smogs in. As the golden shine dithered, she gathered us around to tell of her kin's deeds. She began sometime after the glowing dawn. You know how Rival isn't that prolific. That's a truth of the kinship here too. The reclamation of glucose was our main contribution, though it wasn't the ferrazine alone. The span of the moon was tested by my ancestors and five other Rivo kin. Yul was the first to interject. Your kind has been over the moon? The elder smiled. I have myself as well. There's microbes that was found within the crest that create glucose in a pure form, eliminating the need to harvest sugars from genetic material. Why would they use genetic material? I asked. Smog's above, Faye. Your brain might not be a block of ice if you ever showed up to class. I didn't know how to respond to Yul. I guess me and Magenta Faye weren't as different as I'd been thinking recently. Give her a break. She's been doing what she loves for a couple years now. Turning from Yul to the elder, Sina smiled, and I wasn't sure I'd ever seen that before. Is that how you made the concoction of the stuff that Jones had? Ferrazine's attention off me was surprisingly relieving. The heat across my face and ears dissipated as the elder replied, It is, and if the smogs weren't so near, I'd offer you some again. Don't want to give you a zinging burst when you're trying to settle down. Something about this made me think about Heather. I'm not sure what, but I probably just missed her. And Jones was the next to speak.
You know, we're heading over the moon. I've been there and back, but these blooming urchins haven't. Maybe you...
Of course. I'd be a pleasant host if I didn't offer a fable to help where you're headed. Now, a lot of people worry about the Dunes of Grief, or the Sanguine Estuary, or the path over the Great Augur Lake, but treading over the moon may be the most striking of all the places you may traverse. More mesmerizing than the Great Moony Moss, or Peaks of Senescence, or any Temple of the Tendrils. There's a haunting song you hear, and a bright darkness. There's four hollows that will unlock their runes for you. The others say they see the kindness of your heart and your ancestors before your elders of the glowing dawn standing behind you. Then, of course, there's the obelisk. People used to stay there, Sina said. I've stayed there centuries ago. A thoroughly beautiful experience. Smogs are thin, and the uncles work nonstop for the guests. And the company...
We've got a long jaunt ahead of us tomorrow,
Jones interrupted.
Thank you, Elder Ferrazine. I'm sure they'll better withstand the moon when we get there.
The elder muttered that she was just getting to the slurry parts as Joan ushered us like first schoolers down the hollow channels. After Jones showed us the way, he left. I found a spot on the wall to settle on. Sina chose to follow gravity, and Yul asked why I wasn't on the ceiling. I thought about that, and I asked, did I used to? On the week breaks, you'd bring your pop's flash roast. I still miss how he made ruck flanks. And then we'd stay up through the smogs till the third or fourth. And we'd play smogs, I replied. It came back to me, and Yul and Jude would always have me be the ray, stalking around, stirring the blankets we pretended to be the smogs. When I found them, well, I'm sure you all know how to play smogs. But we'd usually fall asleep on the ceiling. So I moved from the wall to the ceiling for the first time in forever.